Parents, associating with children are bliss. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Parents, associating with children are bliss. Why do we have children? We have children because we are very blessed. We are very blessed because we are living in a world that is so filled with joy and peace and harmony and love and right action. And this is the most natural thing in the world to have reproduction, to have children. Birds do it, bees do it. Why don't we do it? Well, we do. We all have reproduction in our life. Plants, flowers, trees, birds, bees, everything. And all of them are called parents. They are the parent of their offspring. They are the parent of their child. They are the parent of all that's in their life. Now, how are they the parent of what's in their life? Well, every creature or every being creates or reproduces itself in some very special way. And some creatures take care of their children when they are born, and they raise them, and they train them, and they teach them in the ways of what a good being is as a resemblance of themselves. Now, in the humanity level of consciousness, where we all seem to be living at this moment, we don't say we're living in the divine state of consciousness, and wouldn't that be a wonderful way to say we're living in the divine state of consciousness? But we don't say that. We say we're living in the human state of consciousness. Now, what is the human state of consciousness? Well, the human state of consciousness is that we create babies, and these babies need our attention during their early years. During the early years of a child, we train them how to eat. We train them how to do their duty. We train them how to live in a society. We train them how to be beautiful beings in their world. We train them everything we can. We take a great responsibility in bringing forth children in any dimension. And so here in this dimension, we're bringing forth children as human beings. Now, it is a beautiful and a glorious and a wonderful responsibility that parents have with a child. Now, it seems to change a person radically when they become a parent. Oh, they can have all the sexual relationships that they want, and they can have all of the love relationships that they want, and getting to know each other and other people in their world. But when they have a child, some button is turned on in the human being, and the button says, "This is my child. This is my offspring. This is blood of my blood, cell of my cell, life of my life. This is my child. This is glorious. How can I be the best parent in the world? How can I be the most magical parent in the world?" And it's like turning on the bliss signal in our consciousness when we have a child. We turn on that bliss signal that says, "This is the most glorious thing that could ever happen in my life, in my world, in all that I am." And as we raise this child, as we raise this child from infancy, the bliss accelerates. The bliss becomes more and more glorious when we allow ourselves to get close to the child. But unfortunately, in our society, and in the society of a family that goes beyond the family to the community, we drift away from our oneness and our blissfulness with our child. We seem to get so busy in the workaday world, we get so busy in the world of taking care of the needs of our family, earning money, taking care of them, and mama at home taking care of the household if she's there, and taking care, well, let's just forget that if she's there. In the average home, mama is home. In the average home, mother takes care of the family. This, if we just research on that, and that would be interesting to do research on that, I'm sure we would find that the majority of the homes have mama at home. So let's get over this idea that mama's got to go off and work. And she can if she wants to, but she really shouldn't be so interested in having children. She should be interested in doing whatever she wants to do, or he wants to do. However, in the early days of the caveman, and in the early days of primitive society, and in many societies around the world, the family is a unit, and the family supports one another, and they love one another, and they teach one another, and they talk to one another, and they tell each other how wonderful they are. And they tell each other, these are the rules of the family, these are the rules of society, and they're living in a state of perpetual bliss. Really, they are. Because they're living in a state of togetherness. They're living in a state where they are living in each other's company. This is my daughter. I was with a 94-year-old lady yesterday down in El Centro, California, and as I was talking to her, she was just so dynamic and so powerful and so sincerely aware of the realization of the philosophy that we share here at the University of Healing. And I've known her since way back in the 70s, and we have been not close friends, but we have been devoted friends who believe in each other. And as I was standing in her room, I was looking around at the various pictures there, and I said, who is this? I said, this looks like your daughter. Oh, yes, that's my daughter and her two daughters. And they look so beautiful, so dynamic, so wonderful. And I said, who is this boy? And it was a fellow who just graduated from college, and he had that serious look on his face. And I said, he's so serious. And she says, well, he is serious, but he's raising a mustache now, and he's becoming less serious. I wish he wouldn't raise that mustache. And I said, oh, mama, he is a man now. He's in his 50s, and he's a fantastic man. He's doing his business, and he's successful, and he's happy. And you were telling him he shouldn't wear a mustache. A mustache or a beard, it doesn't make any difference. We put it on, we take it off, we have it because we want to be ourselves. We want to play games. It's like little children. We learn to suck our finger, suck our thumb, and then later we suck our toe or something like that. And later we're playing in the play box, and later we're doing... And the mustache is just part of growing up. Well, I guess you're right, she says. I guess you're right, because he is a very happy young man. And I said, but he's very handsome. He takes after the family tree, doesn't he? Oh, yes, he is our family. Oh, yes, this is my daughter. And my daughter has two daughters. And they are just glorious young ladies. And she went with her family. And then we talked about her church. And she was telling me all about how her participation is in her church and what she thinks of it. And then she was telling me all about all the other things. And I said, what's the happiest time in your life? She says, whenever I'm thinking about my family, whenever I'm thinking about my daughter, whenever I'm thinking about people that I love so dearly, so wonderfully, so beautifully, so fantastically, they just make my heart tickle with joy, and I am so happy. And this is how all of us are. Here she is, 94, and still her family are the most important thing in her life. And as she was raising them in El Central, as I was the minister of the church there, and she was raising her family, and I had the chance to work with her and developing them in some ways, it was just beautiful. And to this day, the daughter still contacts me and telephones and talks to me about her family and her needs and her life and her world. The family is a very precious program, and the children are the bliss of the parents. Whenever parents have children, and a child is put out for adoption, or a child is no longer in the family, the parents feel a great loss within them. They don't need to feel that great loss because they had the precious years of the child. They had the blissful years of the child, which are all of its life, really. They had that human bliss that was so precious and so beautiful and so everlasting. We are born to be bliss. We are born to have families and live with our family in bliss. Oh, we have our ups and downs as we go along with our families, but our family is always our family, and we always protect them, and we always love them, and we always send them messages. This morning, a package came to me, and it says, "Dear Dad, have a happy Father's Day." And then I opened up the package, and there was a picture of my son, taken theoretically back in the 1860s. And he says, "Happy Father's Day. I thought you would get a kick out of this picture. We built a time machine and went back to 1860. Love, Mark." Now, could anything be more glorious than the happy voice of my son saying to me, "Hello, Dad, how you doing?" And here I am, off into the wilderness of years. I'm 25 years old. And loving every moment of my life. Living vitally, happily, joyfully, wonderfully, fantastically. And it's time makes no difference. We see in the AARP magazine, this young man, he's 93 years old, and he's still an active cab driver in New York City. He says, "I don't drive as fast as I used to drive." He says, "But I drive just as carefully and just as properly as I always drive." Our life is bliss from the beginning through this dimension. And as we finish our life on this dimension, we go off into other dimensions. And we continue living immortally. We are immortal. We do have life forever. And our children will always be our children. They'll always be our human children, our divine children. They are the bliss of our life. And when we make the bliss of our life so precious by the time we spend with our children as they're growing up, by the time we cuddled them and loved them and fed them and housed them and gave them all the blessings that we could give them, as we do that, our life is so fulfilled and so joyous and so wonderful and so magnificent that nothing can compare to it. Indeed, parents associating with their children are in bliss. Parents associating with their children are always in bliss. And they will always be in their greatest level of happiness as they think of their children. And as we think of our children, if we think of all of the goodness that they are, the struggles that they had are okay too, but let that pass. Think of the goodness that they are. And whatever error they may have made, we no longer empower that by our thought. We empower, as we can do by our thought, every good and beautiful thing about our child. Every good and beautiful thing, every blissful thing that makes our family a family, that makes us a parent, that makes our children the greatest children on the face of the earth, the greatest human beings ever to walk in eternity. And we had a touch in it. We had a hand in it. Our reproductive ability had the bliss that brought that forth. And they bring forth their children, and they bring forth their children, all according to how lovingly we, as parents, shared bliss with them throughout their lifetime, and even today, and even in eternity. For we have bliss as human beings, and we are bliss as divine beings, and we do it now. It's a wonderful feeling. Well, happy Father's Day to you too, Mark. You're my son, and you have a son. And perhaps one day he'll have sons, and on the measure will go in the life immortal, eternal, wonderful, everlasting. And how great it is. How great it is to live in that realization that parents associating with children are bliss. And that's what it is for me. And I know that's what it is for you. Have a happy Father's Day. Have a happy, happy day. And know that I love you. I love you. I love you. And I also like you. I like you. I like you.